Welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series.
I did not expect to do that in Island Voice. I don't know where that came from.
Hey, wow, everybody. Wow, that was amazing.
Island Voice is here to stay for the next hour. Yeah.
All right.
I was going to do pilot voice. I wrote this whole thing out as an intro to be pilot voice.
Really?
Kind of a little something like this.
Coming
to you from the blue skies above Cape CZ, I'll be your pilot, Dave Drumbore. If you look to your left, you'll see an anthropomorphic bear-like creature known as Sean Paul Ellis. Say hello, Sean.
Hey, David. I'm doing well. How about you?
Oh, not too bad. Island living tonight. And if you look to your right, you'll see the orphan daredevil Matt Cloud Kicker Baron. Hello and welcome, sir. How are you tonight?
This is your navigator speaking. Clay's, things are looking good so far.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming aboard. Okay, we are talking... I don't know if you figured that out. If you figured that out, you're a fucking genius, or you've been listening to this show. We're gonna talk Tailspin tonight. So that should clue you in. We got some island voice going on. We got some pilot action going on. I'm going to turn it back over to Sean. He's going to tell you some actual history of the show, rather than just us being jackasses.
Let's do this.
Get serious.
Whew! This was a... Tailspin was a Disney Channel series. It ran from May 5th to July 15th, 1990, and began syndication that same year in September to do this. It went 65 episodes, but it was one season. I guess, does that mean that, like, it a bunch of things aired and then like it took off and they brought it into syndication, like regular syndication, like on TV? I always think syndication is like they've completed something and then they went back and they just re-aired old episodes.
I mean, I feel like in this case it was just like Disney was like, oh man, we got these 60 episodes and people really seem to like it, but I don't really feel like making any more, so we'll just run it for the next 13 years, 18 years, whatever it was.
God.
They just milked the shit out of this show.
The pilot episode was a four-parter called Plunder and Lightning, and it was the sole nominee for an Emmy Award for Outstanding Animated Program for programming that is more than 1 hour in 1991. I didn't even know that was an Emmy category.
No, I feel like they just kind of snuck that in.
Thanks, like, Wikipedia. Yeah,
they're like, how do we get this category? Oh, we'll just make it a four-parter.
Jeez.
Yeah.
This is a spinoff of Jungle Book. So if you've watched Disney's The Jungle Book, there are a lot of the same characters that are going to continue over, such as Baloo. And we have Shere Khan. And I'm trying to think if there were any notable characters.
Oh, yeah, King Louie.
King Louie. I don't know.
So, yes.
I really, I don't have much to say other than this is like, there's a bunch of seaplanes and there's a bunch of air pilots.
Good. Real good.
Hey, seaplanes and bear pilots. Yeah, I mean, you already got my vote.
So, Dave, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the series?
Yeah, sure. So, like Sean said, it was kind of, I mean, I don't even want to call it a spinoff. It was just kind of like they took the characters from Jungle Book and they just had kind of their own idea for this adaptation of, like, this 1930s set air adventure that centered in the fictional city of Cape Suzette, which we mentioned at the beginning of this crazy show, and centered on Baloo the Bear, who is this 30s kind of adventurer, but just kind of like a drunkard and kind of lazy, likes to sing and dance, as Baloo does. And he's a pilot of this awesome seaplane called the Sea Duck. And over
we can be honest. He's a good pilot, employee.
He's a great pilot, just awful.
Great
employee.
Pilot.
Awful.
Awful, terrible employee.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean,
I don't know if Hire for Hire does like an employee of the month. I mean, he's only one of like three employees.
Total. And one of them
four
is
employees.
A child.
Four employees total.
Yeah. Cloud Kicker wins it 16 times in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I feel like poor Baloo's just never getting it.
Oh, he's getting it all right.
Oh boy.
Yeah. That's as good a time as any to mention, do not, for the love of God, do not rule 34 search this son of a bitch.
I did. Ooh, I don't know why I did.
I told you not to do it. I warned you.
Earlier tonight.
It's bad. It's real bad.
It was a real mistake.
It's an actual mistake. Like, I'm not even kidding with you. Normally we kind of joke around about this because it's just like, oh, you perverts. But this is like, I want to call someone because this is some twisted stuff that's out there.
Yeah.
So stay away from that.
I mean, I'm glad that we are. Just think that it's good that we can all admit that we saw these things, that we all rule 34 Tailspin, and that it was just, it's not good. Like, yeah. If you love this show and if you are a big like fan of anything Disney, just save yourself the trouble and just do not append the word rule 34 to the end of that search. You are just, it's just trouble town all the way.
We're a depraved group of individuals, but we're troubleshooting this for you. So just don't do it, kids. Definitely don't do it. Mm-hmm. Moving on. We're going to get back to the wholesome nature of this show, Tailspin. It boils down to a bunch of anthropomorphic animal characters messing around as humans, flying planes, being air pirates, and doing business. That's really what it comes down to. It's a lot of business, a lot of flying, a lot of flying through the skies, good times. I really enjoyed the show.
There's surprisingly a lot of business.
Yeah, an odd amount of business for a children's cartoon.
There's a lot of talk of torts and
profit shares, and I don't know. I didn't understand it, but it was.
I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited for Hire for Hire's IPO.
Yes,
I mean, I think that's going to be smashing.
Waiting for that to be. It's much better than Baloo's air service. Which, come on, I mean, there's no pizzazz.
Be the first $1 trillion company. Let's get there.
Yeah, let's take Shere Khan down a notch. Knock him out of his business suit. Oh boy. I'll tell you what, though, the real outstanding portion of this show, as with many shows, is the theme song.
Oh, I know. It is the theme song.
Theme song, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to do something real special right now. It could be tragic. I don't know how this is going to work, but we're going to try it. We're going to try to bring you a Saturday morning cartoon rendition of the Tailspin theme song. We have not practiced this at all. This is just kind of off the cuff.
We have not. If you were listening to this and you're just like, wow, this is garbage.
Yeah.
It's because we took zero prep time with this. So
we did a lot of island
freestyle.
If this comes out amazing, you can be like, wow, those guys are fantastic. Yeah. And we're going to be like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know. We're aware. Off the cuff.
Yeah.
Oof. On the flip side, if this fails miserably, then just enjoy it. I don't know. I feel like you guys are either going to love this and laugh along with us, possibly sing along with us, or you're just going to fast forward for the next minute or so. So fair warning.
All right.
Fair warning.
Dave, would you – Matt, we talked very briefly. Dave, you're going to do the island voice. All right. Baron is going to help me out with the Tailspin portion of this one, it said – and then I am going to sing the rest.
Yeah. You got the kind of the call and answer. You got the call portion, and we'll do the answer.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know what I mean? From, like, jazzy kind of – I'm showing my jazz education there.
It's All right, let's get this.
Yeah, we're going to kick it off with an island laugh, and now I'm super nervous. I've been doing this all day. My coworkers look at me like a crazy person, but – No,
I've been doing this in the car.
Dude, now, I mean, I'm doing this live in front of literally tens of listeners, so this is very nerve-wracking.
All right, Dave.
Either skip ahead or turn it up. Here we go. Tailspin. Ha, 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 ha! Spin it! Let's begin.
Tailspin.
Off to a great start.
Tailspin.
Oh, we know.
Tailspin.
Friends for life through thick and thin with another tailspin.
Tailspin.
Oh, we are. Tailspin. Oh, we are.
Tailspin.
All the trouble we get in with another tailspin.
Spin it. Let's begin it.
Tailspin.
Keep going.
Oh,
spin it, my friend.
You know, we're going to have to edit this whole
thing. No, there's no editing. Keep it going. Go, Sean. Call and answer.
Okay, good.
Oh, we
Tailspin. Wrong.
Oh, we
Oh, we
Oh yeah.
I think that's too many.
Hey!
Spin it, let's begin it, bury it, win 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 it, spin it, spin it, spin it, spin it. Ha, 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 ha.
So spin it.
Boom, 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 tail spin. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
Hey, we held it together, though. We would have been laughed and booed off stage.
Baron, are you not looking at the lyrics?
No, Baron was freestyling the shit out of that. I provided the lyrics to everyone.
You only told me to say tail spin.
Nope, this is proof.
You said tail spin.
Baron does not read emails, everyone. Baron does not read his emails.
Guys, Baron is illiterate.
You know what? At least we're not going to get sued.
No, because that was not even close to the original rendition.
You're welcome. Yeah,
good time. Hey, thanks, buddy. Honestly, if anybody wants to sue us for any percentage of our earnings from this show,
please do.
You are more than welcome, because I will cut you a check today.
You are more than welcome to zero.
Exactly.
We will write a check for nothing.
For 100% of nothing.
Please feel free to take advantage of 40% of zero. So, you know, just have at it.
Yeah, have at it.
Oh, my God.
Send your request to SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. Yeah, let's get back on the train here. Because honestly, this show was
fun. Let's get into these characters.
Sure, dude.
Let's get into these characters. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Okay. Because, you know, Dave and I were talking and we were saying that, like, you know, if we posit that a theme song has, like, is a very telling component of how good a show is going to be, or is in some way direct correlated to your enjoyment of said show, how do we feel about this theme song?
I'm going to let Baron answer because we already kind of talked offline about it. So,
sure.
You know, I was really positive about it, but with a grain of salt, only because it, you know, it's like super Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, so that was my one beef. That being said, like...
Oh, that a Disney thing was very Disney?
Yeah, I mean, it was super Disney. Yeah. So I was just like, this isn't great. But, you know, the very last second where they do the tailspin and, like, the plane flies across and, like, Baloo gives a thumbs up, like, I kind of liked it. I don't know. It was like, you know, a callback.
Look, and we've talked about the theme songs before, how a lot of them, especially kind of like the action-oriented cartoons, they lay out, like, here's the good guys, and here's what they're named, and here are the bad guys, and here's what they're named, and here's what you can expect for the rest of the series. This doesn't do that. It just has fun with it. It has kind of like that really just kind of energetic and just kind of bouncy theme song and a lot of fun stuff going on in the background. So we talked about this offline. It sets more of a tone than it does an exposition. And I think it works really, really well for the show.
It does.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, too. Like,
and I mean, and you know, and just, you know, thematically, mm-hmm. you know, there's the sense of kind of family or like friendship that is present in the theme song. And that is a big component of this 4-part pilot.
Yeah, and they you said, they don't tell you, like, straight up. Like, if you listen to the lyrics or listen to us butcher them, there's not much to it other than just, like, a lot of fun. But they do say, you know, friends for life through thick and thin, all the trouble we get in. And it's kind of like, oh, we're going to have these crazy adventures, we're going to help each other get through it, and then we're going to have a story to tell at the end of the day. And I love that.
Right.
And it really does, that part of it pays off, because it's 100%.
I mean, can you imagine if this had additional exposition in it, and it just went like,
just drag
oh, yeah, and they're like, Baloo's a pilot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Kid Cloud Kicker's an orphan who was adopted by Baloo the Bear.
Fuck this.
No, just turn it off. Or if it was like, if it was like dark, like if it was like Christopher Nolan's Tailspin, if it was like super dark and gritty, I don't know.
OEOEA. Oh, Carrie Suzette. What a rough town. I fucking hate it there. It's where I buried my kids.
Oh, and you're just like, oh, this is not the Disney cartoon I want to watch.
Rebecca Cunningham gets blown up in a self-sacrificial.
I mean, so here's the thing. This is the first cartoon that I was really super excited about, because when I saw this cartoon, this is going to sound awful. You're going to make fun of me forever.
Well,
but
No, we're not.
We would never do such a thing.
No, yeah, you totally are. But when I saw the cartoon, I really wanted to have like a cargo plane and like exist in this world.
Dude, not gonna make fun of you for one second because I had the exact same feeling. I was just like,
you have never made.
Yeah, I thought you were
gonna say something weird where you were just like, God, I really wanted to fuck a bear.
God, I wish I was just inside a bear right now.
No, but honestly, like the 1930s thing, and also like Sean, I know you can identify with this because we played this video game, but did you get the Crimson Sky feel?
Yes, absolutely, dude. I love it. Let me just say
the Crimson Sky thing with the end of the storyline when they had the storm kind of what do you call it? Like the storm blimp. I mean, I haven't played Crimson Skies in
The Blitzkrieg Zeppelins?
Right, but like there was a storm zeppelin at the end, and it was like, Jesus, they just ripped it right off.
Yeah,
like good lord, you know,
just straight out of the show. I love the fact that on the wiki page for the 4-part introduction to this show, so like the hour and a half introduction, the genres that they use to describe Plunder and Lightning, which is the title of the show, they've got action, adventure, comedy, drama, science fiction, and crime. And I love that because it's just like, it's everything in one. You know what I mean? I mean, it's even got a little bit of romance. It's got some bromance. It's got some father-son kind of stuff. It's really got everything. Now, to Baron's point, it is super Disney. But it worked, man. It was great. And it's one of those rare ones that we can go back and watch still today. Yeah.
You know, and it was like kind of less Disney than some of the other Disney comics on like TV at the time. So it was like a little more action than the rest of Disney. So,
yeah, it was
that's why I really liked it. It was kind of like the, you know, free flow, you know.
I'm going to disagree with you. Oh, yeah? I mean, the other Disney cartoon that we've watched has been Darkwing Duck. True. And I mean, that was all, like, if you were to classify that, like, that show was all action and narcissism.
But yeah, it was like slapstick action at the same time. I know, and 100% narcissism, which is way different.
Slapstick action as well.
Pineapples to the face are a little bit,
They were,
This was nothing.
When you throw a pineapple through the propeller plops and it, you know, hits
an air pirate
in the face. Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, the fact that Darkwing Duck and Tailspin were on totally different levels, because Darkwing Duck was, you know, the guy was trying to be a superhero, and
he was a superhero, and Baloo is a pilot.
Fact.
Well, when
fact
you say trying
podcast.
To be,
I'm sorry. Matt. Go.
No. I mean, nothing's important anymore. I'm just kidding. So, you know, with Darkwing Duck, his express purpose for being was a superhero. With Baloo, you know, he was kind of an accidental hero because he was just a pirate or, you know, a pilot, and he's, you know, doing all these like crazy things, like, you know, high risk deliveries and, you know, yada yada yada, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's kind of your accidental like guy that you're, you know, rooting for, you know.
Yeah, it's like Darkwing's, like Sean said, with narcissism, and Matt said with his desire to just be a hero, like that was his single focus, and it was just a very different tone, I think, from Tailspin, just because Tailspin's just kind of like, here's a guy, he's a pilot, that's it. He gets into adventures, he loves flying around, he enjoys, you know, kind of teasing these air pirates and being challenged and doing these death-defying stunts and maneuvers, and he loves his plane to death and back. He'll do anything for his plane. Anything for his plane. But he's not, you know, he's not his main goal in life is basically just to be able to fly and have a good time. He's not concerned with being a hero or being a father figure. He's just out to fly and have a good time. And I love it.
And I desperately, desperately wanted a sea duck as a young man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rare show indeed that makes flying a cargo plane look that badass.
Yeah.
This plane, though, well, I mean, it's like a character.
I was like, I remember a conversation, no joke, and I'm going to get crushed for this, but I remember a conversation with my dad. It was like, how can I get a plane and become a freelance cargo pilot? And my dad's like, I don't know how to tell you this without crushing your dreams and simultaneously telling you that you're going to be poor for the rest of your life.
Just like Baloo. So, he couldn't afford to keep his plane. He's like, that's the main conflict in most of the early stories, which I thought was great because, like we said earlier, there's a lot of business going on in this show, which is a very strange
decision. Here's the thing. Yeah. When, at the very beginning when he's like, the bank's like, you owe $3,000.
That little fucking mole that like everybody hates automatically. Well,
But I thought to myself back when like I really wanted to do this, like have a freelance cargo plane, it was like $3,000. You know, I got that much space on my credit card, so
yeah, done. Oh, except okay. This is 1930s monies.
Thirties, so, yeah.
And it's crazy. They throw around a lot of dollar figures too.
Yeah. I'm very excited about that fact.
About 1930s dollar.
That
figures?
Is the 30s.
Yeah, about that. The storyline with the Shere Khan.
Oh no, no, yeah, I love that.
I mean, it's like.
What about the 30s? Were you just like, yes?
It's like, that's the decade I want as a child. Yeah. As an 8-year-old. Can't get enough of them 30s.
Like, Matt, like, what about Art Deco are you just like screaming over to have more of in your life? Serious question.
Big desks.
That's true. There were huge desks. If you're a fan of big, just massive. Mm.
Yeah.
Muscular desks. They're all
really, really huge desks. And also, like, you know, big gardens with, like, carnivorous plants, that, you know, to torture my underlings with. Yeah.
No, I hear you. I think it was just cool because as a kid, like, if you didn't know what it was, if you didn't understand, like, this is the 30s and this is, you know, there's no jet engines, there's no real, like, helicopters, there's no, obviously, no internet. Yet, because that didn't even exist in the real world. But there's nothing like that. It was just the tone and the look and the style of it, and just like the feel of that old-timey kind of action-adventure tone and genre. It was just something different that we hadn't seen on cartoons before. So to me, that was what made it cool. I didn't know it was the 30s that made it cool. Just that made it cool. Plus fucking air pirates, dude.
I mean, Dave, I totally agree. I mean, the fact for me, it was like, I know in some point of the series they referenced, you know, quote, the Great War, but, you know, it was the kind of like, what do you want to call it? The, like, kind of like finding your own destiny. Like, you know, with Baloo, he's like, you know, being his own pilot. And, you know, with Rebecca, she's owning a small company. Like, Shere Khan, he's got like the whole,
business empire.
You know, big 19. Yeah, exactly.
A very American story at its heart, like very much the American dream. Like anything is possible. You can be a drunk bear pilot. You can be a suave tiger in a suit. You can be anything you want.
Yeah. You know, you can be like an easygoing pilot. You can be a small business person. You can be, you know, the person who builds, you know, in the first episode, he says, you know, I built this into the biggest empire, a business empire, you know, in the country.
Like Cape really Suzette, too, like the city itself, it's huge. I mean, when they show, like, the flyovers, because you got to think, with these flyover sequences, a lot of the action takes place, obviously, in the sky, and they cover huge distances. And the animation of the land around them and the different kind of ports that they go into and the different cities that they visit are just huge. And that was cool, too. It was like an expansive thing that we never kind of, at least when I was a kid, never kind of saw that before Tailspin, because everything was always centered like in
1995 was really trying to be, you know, Louie and, be, you know, have a tiki bar. So.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of
I love it. I love that you volleyed from like, I want to be a freelance cargo pilot to like, I want to own a tiki bar.
I want to be an orangutan in a tiki bar. I mean, this is a great time to just talk about that.
Let me tell you, the ins and outs of owning a tiki bar seem to be a lot more complicated than being a freelance cargo pilot. So,
hey, why not both? You have downtime when you're not.
Why don't you have a tiki bar in the sky?
Yeah, why don't you have a flying tiki bar?
A flying tiki bar.
Mm-hmm. Done.
Because you know what? That movie with Angelina Jolie and
Sky Captain of the World of Tomorrow.
Sky Captain.
It just didn't work out.
Mm. Yeah, that's a discussion for another day, since it was mostly like privately financed. But anyway, I digress.
Actually, come to think of it, doesn't Baloo? Don't they have a like kind of bar in the sky kind of thing?
I feel like they. Oh wait! Isn't it on like a? Don't they have like this floating like zeppelin kind of thing that's coming back?
Yes,
right now?
Because you would pull into it. Yes. I really feel like that was a thing.
Yes. That does sound familiar. I'd love to go out. Man, I would love to watch like more of these episodes. I really only got to watch the first couple and then just kind of cherry picked to finish out.
I mean,
out
it was, you know, I was way, way too involved with this episode.
No, that's good.
So I don't know.
What don't you know?
Sean,
maybe this is an unpopular opinion.
Uh-oh.
Give us your full download.
I was a little bit creeped out by the relationship between Baloo and Kit.
Really?
Oh, you suck.
And I'm sorry, but like when Baloo continued to call him Little Britches.
Yeah, Little Britches.
Like that grated on me so much in a way that like, because I watched this like 10-year-old, 11-year-old me watched this show nonstop.
Yeah.
I remember loving this show. And then when I heard Little Britches a couple times, I was like, oh, my God.
It's just Uncle Baloo, and it's just his term of endearment. When he gets real drunk and flies his plane.
And then when Kit had to, like, stress a point, and he'd be like, Papa Bear, and I'd be like, oh, that's a weird.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
That's a bizarre choice.
Well, you know, that's the weird house you grew up in, so.
I mean, undoubtedly, it was a weird house that I did grow up in, and I'm not going to deny that, but I, like, nobody at any point in time was a sloth bear or a brown bear cub.
You know, that would be like, a real weird house.
Like bizarre advances towards each other. No, because, bridges. I mean, like, Kit's an orphan.
Kid is and a former air
he's
pirate.
He's identifying with Baloo as being a father figure in his life, and, like, I couldn't be happier about that. But I just think the phrasing Papa Bear and then Baloo's choice to like almost instantaneously call him like Little Britches. Now, like Little Britches is actually like it's a book.
Oh, is it?
Like, yeah, it's like a series. It's like a series of books.
Is it a Kipling book?
No.
Rudyard Kipling's Little Britches? No. Okay.
No. It was Ralph Moody wrote like a series of books about like a rancher. And Little Britches was, I guess, a rancher in this. And it was one of those things where I was just kind of like, I don't know what it is about, like, it's the word britches. I don't like the word britches.
That's 1930s talk, Sean.
I'm going to be honest. I don't like the word britches. It freaked me the shit out to have him.
So for longtime listeners, Sean, you'll remember that Sean, okay, this is the second word I think that he doesn't like. The first one was party. And the second one is britches.
I do not like the word party.
So if you want to have a britches
like
party,
I do not like.
Or you want to put on your
like
party
the word
britches?
Commode. I do not like the word commode. Slacks.
Are you okay with party britches? You want to put on your party
or
britches?
Moist.
Your big boy.
I don't
britches?
Like moist either.
Nobody likes moist unless it's about brownies like and moist. Cupcakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Even then, it's gross. Just say it's delicious.
Delicious.
You know,
party britches.
We've ruined certain words in our culture, and britches
on our
is
podcast.
One of them. In our podcast.
I'm actually okay with it. We joke. We're off the beaten path again, but I'm okay with it, just because Kit. Okay, so Kit comes from this background.
He's
an orphan. I of course
would
say
that. Classic Dave.
Classic Dave. He is the orphan. He's a former air pirate. He's been in with some, like, a rough and rowdy crowd who are all just terrible. I mean, they're comical, but they're pretty nasty people, / dog, fox, wolf things. They're not great. So the fact that Baloo, the drunk pilot bear, is, like, a step up, I'm okay with. Because he's not idolizing Shere Khan. Or he's not...
But he's also not drunk, you know? I mean, he's, like... It's just easy going.
We're introduced to him in Louis's bar, where he just like dresses in drag and breaks into a musical within the first like 5 minutes of this show. I'm gonna say drunk. I'm gonna say he's a drunk pilot bear.
I'm gonna side with Baron on this. I'm not gonna say a drunk. I'm just gonna say he's like lazy, slovenly, and just shitty with money.
Yeah, I could see it. He's an easygoing. I'm not saying he's a nasty drunk, but he strikes me.
I just don't think he's a drunk.
Listen,
I don't think Disney
Denzel Washington's character in Robert Zemeckis' Flight was based directly off of Baloo the Bear from Tailspin.
It's a proven fact.
Sorry. That's the fact of the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
It's going to blow my mind when I go back and watch Flight again.
Yeah, exactly. It just breaks into Island Song. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Land the plane.
Upside down. I mean, okay, so do we want to talk about some of these characters a little bit? We've kind of covered Baloo.
Well, we kind of talked about Baloo. I mean, a little bit about Kit.
Yeah. Kit, his cool thing, the thing I loved when I was a kid, was his cloud kicking ability. His little airfoil or whatever thing that he rode around on. That was pretty sweet.
He called it a board. It was like a
silver croissant. It was a silver croissant.
Yeah, it was just, But my dad put that dream to bed for me pretty early.
So wait a minute. You wanted to be a cargo plane flyer, and if you couldn't do that, you wanted to open a tiki bar. And if you couldn't do that, you just wanted to airboard out of the back of a cargo plane.
Goddamn right I did.
I mean, does that sum it up? Okay.
I was like,
no, good.
That's great ambition. I'm sorry to shut you down.
That's so set up nice.
Well, at least you're still alive.
Don't kill his dream.
Yeah, okay. Right. Well, you know what? I'm going to make a sandwich. You guys go ahead.
All right.
Okay. I don't know what's happening, but so we got Baloo and we got Kit. Who do you want to talk about now?
How do we not talk about the pirates, though? I wanted to really quick. Baron made a confession earlier. Okay. I'll make a confession myself.
Here we go.
I remember watching this and being like, I think Rebecca Cunningham is an attractive bear.
Oh no!
I think she's an attractive bear, and then I realized only recently when we started rewatching this show that it was voiced by Sally Struthers.
Yeah,
and that killed.
I did not know that, but let me tell you thanks for watching a boner, but at the same time, like, just watching her, like,
neither side of that was appropriate.
Keep going, man.
The character, it was like, it was really well, good for me in the, business aspect as it relates to Baloo, because Baloo was very freelance, but Rebecca was very, like,
uptight.
Business, we need to do this, we need to do that, ooh. It was a really kind of like good counterpoint.
Yes,
It
definitely was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for Sean, that worked out. He liked the discipline side of things a little bit more. Yeah, I think.
Who doesn't like discipline?
Well, I mean, to each their own. Bear discipline.
I like a lot of discipline.
Ooh. Who doesn't like discipline?
Oh boy.
No, I like a lot.
50 Shades of Baloo the Bear.
50 Shades of Baron. Rebecca.
50 Shades of Crepe Suzette.
Oh boy. The thing that is fun about Rebecca Cunningham is the fact that, like, when you're introduced to her, like, she is a businesswoman. Right. She has a plan. Right. She has a direction. Like,
an ambition.
She wants to improve the business that Baloo has basically just
run,
like,
into the ground.
Shat into the ground. Yeah. Like, he's not doing anything with it. And Rebecca was just like, yeah, absolutely. I have an idea. Let's put this into effect. Yeah. And, like, I love the fact that they chose, like, a female intelligent character to have an MBA, because I didn't realize that bears could get MBAs.
Well, if they can fly planes, they can get MBAs, so.
Sure, why not? And so, I love the fact that, like, not only is she a businesswoman, but she's also a single mother.
I was just about to mention that, because that's something that, like, didn't really strike me as a kid, but now that I think about it, it's like,
yeah,
whoa.
It didn't, like, when I went, like, going back and watching this, I was like, oh, like, and I grew up, I'm a child of divorce, and so it was one of those things where, like, I had a very strong, like, mother figure raising me, and so, like, I don't know why I didn't, like further identify that like in the show, but I was just like, oh shit, like watching it now, I was like, oh, well, that totally makes sense.
Look, I think as a kid, you just see that and you relate to it because it's something that's happening in your life already. So you don't think, like as a kid in that situation, like I was too, you don't think anything different because to you, that's your normal. So when you see that on TV,
not to mention the fact that like, oh, that's cool. at 10 years old, I was dumb as shit. Yeah, so I'm like, I didn't fucking.
As a note here, I did check it out on the Wikipedia. No mention was ever made of Molly's father. Now, Molly is
absolutely not.
Is Rebecca's daughter.
Not a single reference.
And the creator apparently said that Rebecca is either widowed or divorced, but the original script for the first Tailspin has her being divorced. So there is a nod to that. They do mention it somewhere, but I guess I just felt they didn't need to work it into the show. So there you go.
I love that.
Yeah, good for that.
Really strong. I think it's a super strong choice.
Yeah, and then to Baron's point, like their two personalities clash a lot, but they also work together really well for getting out of whatever you know sticky wickets they happen to get into. So it works really well.
Did you say
really
sticky wickets?
I did. That's 30s talk, Sean. Put on your potty bridges.
It's good. Put on.
Jump in a sticky wicket.
You've been watching a lot of cricket. Haven't you, Dave?
A lot of cricket. I don't understand cricket ever. I've watched it. I understand it.
Yeah, they just knocked the toggle off the wicket.
Yeah, I don't understand any of it. Another time.
That's you.
Can we please talk about Air Pirates? I love the Air Pirates.
Well, yes, we could absolutely talk about
it. We really only need to talk about one. The rest of them were just kind of like henchmen.
Don Carnage. Oh, Let's get into Don Carnage.
Don Carnage. I mean, he's kind of like this guy that says, I should... both like shoot you, but also be sorry for it. Right?
He's got this very.
That
like,
was quite possibly my favorite Don Carnage impression.
Oh, I thought that was his island voice. I thought that was Matt's island voice.
No, that's not the island voice. The island voice is, oh, hey, I came into your bar, Louis, and I would like to rape you of the
wow.
You know, the jewel that he installed.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Wario. I apologize. Wario just snuck into the recording booth and took over for a second. I, on behalf of Saturday Morning Cartoons, like to apologize. What just happened? Don Carnage, voiced by Jim Cummings.
Matt,
I don't know what just happened.
Dave, shut up. That was so phenomenal, Matt. That was so fucking good, dude.
Oh, boy.
I'm not even joking. I'm not even messing around with you. That was so good, dude.
Goddamn right it was.
Oh, fuck. God I'm losing
damn right it.
It
was. So that was Don Carnage. He's got a very European kind of style.
Mr. Legal Responsibilities, Dave Trumbore.
Oh, I'm trying to hold it together here, ladies and gentlemen. We're crashing and burning.
Oh, boy.
We are crashing and burning.
Holding it together was a thing you needed to stop doing after our first podcast.
Holding it together. Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
Should we move on?
Oh, man. All right. Let's talk about Don Carnage.
I love Don Carnage.
Because Don Carnage, there are two characters that are in this show that I think are easily my favorite, and Don Carnage is one of them. All right.
The end.
And so, the end. I love the fact that he speaks in, like, this bad, like, Lucy Ricky Ricardo voice, like, nonstop. Like, I tried imitating it. Like or to do like an impression like earlier this evening as I was watching it because I was cracking up every time he was on.
Just every time he talked, whatever his line of dialogue.
Honestly, I was kind of weirded out by the fact that it was both a French and Spanish.
Yeah, it's very like European kind of.
And that was the thing. It's like if you're gonna stick to it because he's like he's got that. Yes, no, kind of thing. But at the same time, he's like, got the, French grammar. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense, but like,
well, yeah,
I mean,
he's watching it. Like, if you listen to him, he's wearing like a Napoleon tailcoat the entire time.
Yeah.
Which is fucking great.
So literally, the only people that can do his voice,
he's speaking in like a broken Spanglish, like nonstop,
with like a weird French tilt to it, though, like a lilt, a French lilt. Literally, only two people that can do his voice are Jim Cummings, who actually did it, and our very own Matt Barron, who just did an exemplary performance of it.
It's so good.
Just a few minutes ago. It's the only two people that can
hear it nonstop. Yeah.
Sean, who was your other favorite, though? I'm curious.
My other favorite was Wildcat.
Yes, okay, mine too. I was hoping it was him.
It was Wildcat.
Because I would like to fix your plane. And I was like, you know, it's like this thing that they all just fix your phone, so. That's how it works.
Did anybody get that? Ladies and gentlemen, that was Nell. Nell just stopped into the studio to
take in the wind.
Jake, I ain't just screwing the bay.
We watched Jodie Foster and Nell. Did you?
You should all watch Jodie Foster and Nell.
It's on our other podcast.
Well, just remember
Jodie Foster movies.
100%
Jodie Foster. Yeah, Jodie Foster was Nell, and then she was in.
Contact
with Matthew McConaughey, and then Matthew McConaughey. I'm gonna do a Lincoln commercial.
What are you doing?
There you go. Matt's doing impressions.
This is an impression hour with Matt Barron.
I'm gonna go ahead and just roll this little booger up into my finger here while I drive my commercial.
You sound like a flamboyant southerner, and I love it.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and roll this little booger. What are you saying?
Just roll this up little booger here. Like a weird transition, like going from a winning an Oscar to driving the Lincoln in the commercial.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we're going to have to edit just this entire
thing
out.
No editing.
No, we're not.
I can turn it off.
There's no editing.
There's no editing. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Locke just walked into the recording.
Oh my god! All right, so Wildcat is fantastic. I don't know if anybody else got like a Bobcat Goldthwait.
A little bit. I think it was mostly just like that crazy kind of like high pitched voice at times and that lisp.
I love characters that are seemingly
mentally
more than
retarded.
What they appear to be.
Okay.
No, shut
well,
up.
Well, I don't
like,
know.
I don't know. I love characters that are seemingly more than what they appear on the surface. And so Wildcat is very much that character where he kind of presents himself as kind of like a doofus.
Yes.
But he is an idiot savant when it comes to like being able to make repairs to the sea deck or anything else. Like, he's a mechanical genius. He's not just an idiot savant. Right. He's a mechanical genius.
He's basically, if you took Tigger and then just made him a mechanic. That's kind of what he is. The voice even kind of sounds pretty a little similar.
A little bit.
Yeah. But so, it's kind of, yeah.
I loved his ability, not only just in like the pilot, just to kind of like surprise, but I mean, he was just a very fun, like happy-go-lucky character. Like, he has no agenda other than just to like serve to kind of like further whatever's going on between like Baloo and Rebecca.
And a little bit of a just like a Becker's. Like a dialogue shift or a tonal shift at times too, because he's basically on the autism spectrum somewhere, but he helps them out quite a bit. So I really like Wildcat.
Who's not?
Yeah, honestly, everybody's on there.
Certainly Sean is.
No, this entire podcast is full of autistics. So
we are way on the spectrum.
Yeah.
The other character that I think that we've hinted about and we talked about quite a bit that you get introduced in the first episode is Shere Khan.
Yes. Voiced by Tony Jay. Fantastic voice. Spot on voice acting
best.
For this guy.
Just so
best.
Do you guys, I'm going to put you on the spot. Pop quiz. Do you remember the other show that we discussed here? I believe it was.
Absolutely do.
Yeah. What was it?
Yeah. Baron, you remember what he did?
You remember?
Why you got to do that?
Yeah, he just did it.
No,
he was Megabyte from Reboot.
Do you remember what other one? That's a trick question. There were actually two of them. Oh, come on. This was my pick, and you guys hated it. That doesn't narrow it down at all.
Aha, you suck, Sean.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you got me.
Mighty Max. He did Virgil from Mighty Max. Remember the owl guide?
Tony Jay.
Anyway, so yeah, Tony Jay.
You know, I mean, honestly, I did remember his voice from Megabyte, but I was like, you know, I didn't want to
spin it.
No points for you. Ha, 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 ha. Let's begin.
All right, fine. Fuck off.
Island voice. I really hope if you've listened to this show this far, first of all, good for you. Congratulations. but I really hope for the next week or so you're just laughing in an island voice. just greeting people.
Oh, my God. I don't know what it is about that voice. But just,
it's so good. I don't know who it was. Here,
I think for all the listeners, we should disclose that for a period of time when Dave and I were living together, mm-hmm. I would consistently do my island voice impression for Dave, which Dave
makes me cringe.
Just makes him, so uncomfortable.
Give him a taste. Give him something.
No, I don't.
You don't do it on demand. Okay,
I don't need to ruin their sensibility. I'll do it later.
Yeah, do it later.
It'll come up organically. Okay, it won't be something that you can kind of throw me in.
Listeners, it'll be your job to try to pick when Sean's doing his island voice, because occasionally it's like a Yiddish Brooklynite, and sometimes it's like this Scottish lord that comes out. I don't know.
You know what? I did it the other night for somebody else, and they were like, "That's really good."
Oh yeah.
I want to meet this person. This person who's never heard a Jamaican person before.
Well, with the schleppy and the bok choy, I mean, this guy is a schlamazel. It's totally bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, Larry David just stopped by to say hi.
God, I love killing Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He's killing it.
Thank you for being here.
No, Dave, I'm going to kill you.
I don't know who that was.
That's... Spin it! Oh my God.
Listeners, anytime if you're at work and you guys are going to like start a meeting or you need to get pumped up for like the big presentation, please just do the island laugh and say, "Let's begin it." And I guarantee you, you're going to win it in a minute if you spin it.
I mean, here's the best thing is that I think we have been recording for a very long
roughly
time.
45 minutes.
We have not even begun to talk about this episode. No. We could talk about this. We could talk about the four-part episode very, very high level.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I think it was well put together, to be honest with you. There were a lot of plot turns. They introduced, you know, most of the characters we've already talked about in different ways. Baloo kind of, like, runs afoul of multiple antagonists throughout. Because everybody kind of had... There's a MacGuffin in this four-parter that everybody is trying to get their hands on for different reasons. That's not really as important as just the tone of it, how fun it was, the adventure that's in it, the kind of the high flying antics and like I said earlier, the sea duck itself, the plane, is almost a character in and of itself because it looks like this big, kind of bulky, slow, awkward cargo plane, but it's got a lot of cool kind of like hidden gadgets and stuff that Baloo has put into it too. So they do a lot of fun with the plane itself as well as the characters.
Right. Yeah.
Did you want to say anything about the actual show, though? I mean, what do you want to talk about in the plot?
Oh, no. I mean, I just the fact alone that it was a four-part, like, pilot.
Just to get an Emmy.
I mean, like, maybe just to get an Emmy. Right. Like, I think the thing that was rewarding about it was that, you know, a lot of pilots, whenever you watch them, like, it's just a lot of information jammed into, like, that one 22-minute episode, and for this, it felt like they gave it a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think the big thing about Tailspin is that they really gave themselves room to breathe by taking this pilot and putting it over those four episodes, and there's a decent amount of relationship building, you know, that they established between Baloo and Kit, as well as also between Molly and Rebecca. And Kit and Baloo. And so, like, you really get a sense of, like, these people care about each other. They're not trying to, like, jam all of this stuff together into one 22-minute episode and make it awkward. It just – nothing seemed forced. And so that was refreshing.
Yeah, and actually when Sean told me that it was going to be like a – Yeah, when he said it was going to be a four-parter, I was just like, what hubris. Like, what? Who do you think you are? You're just bringing this, like, show on people and just like, oh, we're going to do a four-parter. But it actually was
what
really smart.
Ridley Scott bullshit do you think you're going to pull on this?
Right. Tailspin, part one, the Exodus. Yeah, it works really, really well, though, because we get introduced to Baloo, who, like we said, is just kind of chilling at the club. And we get introduced to the Bear Club.
Just chilling
at Louis Bear Club.
You know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
It is very hard to say the word bear and not think of the, like, of the like gay connotation that comes along with it.
Is it though? Because it wasn't for me until right now. Now it will be.
I mean, like, now it will be. But I mean, like, there are parts of this that like, kind of like going through it and just like hearing like Papa Bear. I think that that's what.
It yeah, that's probably what bothers for,
like,
you.
Hearing Papa
yeah.
Bear over and over and over again, like, yeah. is just hearing that and like, I don't know why that. I don't know why that registered and made it so like it was used only like a couple times, but like after the first time I was like, okay, I don't know if that was earned or not.
I think it's because you grew up. I think it's because you grew up. You're no longer an innocent youth. You're a bespoiled.
I think in part what it is just Urban Dictionary. Like yeah. I just think that because I know like enough about like slang words and like things that are used like out of context, like I'm just kind of like, oh, like
look,
I'm,
hey, I'm, at the same man, at the same time, if there's a well-built man, out
same
there,
man,
at the same, same man, man,
same man, Jesus, no, that you get away with that.
Dave, I was hoping to Dave, sneak that by.
Dave, what's on your mind?
Yeah, bears, bears. Now talking about bears and cops,
talking about them bears. But like, I think it was a very good, like four-part. Intro to this series, and yeah, I would definitely say that, like, you know, if given the chance, I'd be interested in watching more of this show.
Oh, definitely.
And seeing
yeah
a lot of the madcap hijinks that they get into.
Yeah, and I don't remember how many of the plots, like how cartoonish they got. Like again, basically this one centers around a MacGuffin. It's this stone that Kit steals from the pirates to begin with, and then it ends up in Baloo's hands, and they want to sell it to, you know, pretty much anyone who will buy it. They come to figure out that it's worth way more than anybody had imagined, and it ends up falling into the hands of a couple different antagonists. One, it goes back to Shere Khan at one point, who reveals that it's actually like this. I mean, spoiler alert if you want to go back and actually watch the pilots. But it's this device that basically produces limitless energy, and it can power.
It's like a conduit.
Yeah, but it can somehow limitless. Yeah, it can somehow provide energy to like the entire, at least to Shere Khan's entire corporation, if not the entire city. So it's like his energy answer. At the same time, the pirates want to use it for somewhat more nefarious purposes, which is basically just making a fucking lightning gun and blasting their way into the city. This was one of my favorite parts of the show, actually. When Baloo is outside of the city, outside of Cape Suzette, they fly through these cliffs, and the cliffs are protected by cliff guns, which,
yep.
That just the idea, just that kernel of an idea, to me, was awesome as a kid. The fact that you had, like, this city that was protected by these surrounding cliffs, and those cliffs had just anti-aircraft guns fucking mounted to the sides of the sheer walls. I thought that was great. And the air pirates wanted nothing to do with it until they blew them apart with their lightning gun. Just a lot of cool stuff like that, man. A lot of high-flying adventure and action. It was great.
I will say in the fourth part of the pilot, yes. when they are falling out of when they're falling out of Don Carnage's, was it like
the Iron Vulture?
The Iron Vulture. Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so when they're falling out of the Iron Vulture, and Baloo just goes, "Oh no, what a tailspin!" Shake my fucking head. Like,
they did it. They finally went there. It took them 85 minutes.
Yeah,
but
they got it. I feel like it was like a four episode payoff where they were just like, "We're gonna get there."
You just need to wait.
Give ourselves time to get there. We're going to give ourselves a full almost 2 hours to get there. And I'm just like, oh, facepalm.
Yeah. But it was fun, dude. Unfortunately, listeners, we have lost Matt Barron. Probably not permanently. He just kind of, I don't know if his connection dropped out or what, but he's gone.
He's dead.
I'm going to say since this, well, I certainly hope not. I'm going to say since this was his suggestion, and we talked to him offline, he was very enthusiastic about this show, as you may have heard. And also his impressions, which came out of nowhere. He would probably recommend this show. Sean, do you recommend this show to the people?
I recommend this show, yeah. But I'm also a little bit creeped out, as I mentioned, about the Kit-Baloo relationship. I don't know why I get so freaked out about that. I just don't like the word britches.
Yeah, party britches and papa bears.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, fair. I mean, that doesn't bother me. I think if you just kind of want to watch this high-flying action-adventure series, it's good. It surprisingly holds up. Like Baron mentioned, it's still kind of Disney-fied. It's still very, it can be saccharine at times, but they've got enough.
Yeah, but it was fucking made by Disney. Exactly. Like, it's Disney-fied because it's made by Disney. Because it's a Disney
product, yeah. And it's not as bad as some of them are. It's
if it was Ruby Spears and it was fucking Disney-fied, like, then you could bitch about it. But, like, you can't bitch about a Disney cartoon being Disney-fied.
Right. Now, look, it's not on the level of, like, a Gargoyles kind of, like, darkness or serious tone. It's way more just like fun and uplifting and energetic and crazy. Even the villains aren't even exactly like scary or intense or anything. They're just a lot of fun. It's just a fun time. It's kind of like Jungle Book meets Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow, which you probably never wanted. But if for some reason you haven't seen this show, 100% recommend checking it out. This was fun. I'm glad Matt suggested it. I'm sorry he fell off the face of the earth. Maybe he finally achieved his dream of being a cargo plane flying tiki bar owning airboarder.
I really hope so. I think that that's like I don't think that. Here's the thing. Yeah. Watching these cartoons and being inspired to do the things they're doing, like if you watch Brave Star and you decided to become a cop because you thought that like it romanticized law enforcement in any way, shape, or form is not a bad reason to get into it. Like, if it's something you love, do it. Who gives a hell?
Now, at the same time, if you watch Bots Master, who gives a hell? Ugh. The same man gives a hell. Who? If you watch Bots Master and want to become a cybernetic mad scientist,
I watched Bot Master and I wanted to commit suicide.
Well, don't do that. Do the former, don't do the latter. Definitely take drugs, but don't commit suicide. I'm not even joking about that
problem.
One.
Dave and I have had this problem. Have had this conversation multiple times. Do not do drugs.
I mean, yeah, if you want to listen to Sean, Sean just told you to commit suicide.
Don't
so
do drugs.
Obviously, Sean's
I'm
not
saying,
the person to talk to and listen
I'm
to.
Saying, no, I'm saying don't do that. Right. I'm just saying watching Botmaster made me want to commit suicide.
Fair. That's why we stopped. But here's a question.
Do not do drugs.
Here's a question. Did Tailspin have a drug episode? We need to start researching these.
No, there's no drug episode. Shit. Every show we watch, I Googled the shit out of drug episode for those things. Like, I want a good drug episode. I thought Mask was going to have a great drug episode.
No, they just tell you not to pet stray dogs.
No, and then they just punched Native Americans in the face. They sure did. It's as awkward as shit. Oof. Like,
look, Tailspin was like tailor-made for a drug episode, though. Like, imagine this shady guy comes in and he offers Rebecca like $100,000.
Yeah,
fly these drugs across the border, bro. All good.
Yeah, I mean, this really could have turned like
could have been real Breaking Bad style.
It could have been so fucked up. So many different ways.
But they didn't do that.
I would have been satisfied. I would have been happy if they did. I mean, who gives a shit? Like, you know, who knows? Like, look, throughout the entire series, Rebecca and Baloo are both hard up for money all the time.
All the time.
I mean, what kind of crazy weird things have they gotten into?
Take care of the kids. Do the drugs. Yeah.
Breaking Bad.
Baloo Breaking Bad. Oh, man. I want to see that.
Deep sigh. Man. All right.
All right. Any final thoughts for Tailspin here before we wrap it up for the folks?
No, I think we're done. Yeah. I want to give a shout-out.
Yeah, this is your time for plugs and shout-outs, so you take it away.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Tony Lazzaroni. Mm-hmm. He messaged me, and he had a comment regarding a previous episode, which was our Street Sharks episode.
Interesting.
And we had been debating over whether or not we think Seviots.
Yes.
We didn't know what it meant. We have been continually conflicted about the meaning of this, and he posited an answer, and I love it.
Okay, let's hear it.
He said that Seviots equals sea, as in the ocean.
Right, got it. I'm with you so far.
Sea Soviets. I love it. I think he might be spot fucking on with this one. Like, I think it's pretty.
I mean, it makes about as much sense as anything else in that show. So
everything else that we have guessed so far,
it just doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit. Tony's suggestion on this?
See Soviets.
Actually fits. It fits. That's what's scary about this. That is scary. It fits, and I love it.
Tony, so, you have a disturbed mind, my friend. Disturbed in the Street Sharks way. Yeah.
No, Tony does have a disturbed mind, but it's wonderfully disturbed. So see Soviets. Let him have it.
I like it. We're going to go see Soviets.
I also want to say a shout out. We've been live tweeting.
Yes.
Episodes intermittently when you've been watching. Yeah. So intermittently when Sean has access to the internet. Yeah. And so I want to say I thank you to a couple people who chimed in during my episode for Tailspin, and that is Don Carnage, and that is Don underscore Carnage underscore.
Oh boy.
And as well as also Sparf, S-P-A-R-F, and Richard Pump. So they did a fantastic job of answering the question of when Don Carnage has guns on the side of his biplane, yeah, and he fires them, how those bullets do not ricochet off of the propeller and destroy the actual mechanism that allows him flight. And so they actually had some pretty good responses with that. So I was very happy with that. I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, Don Carnage himself replied. So, I mean, that's obviously...
Yeah, I mean, Don Carnage...
He's got insider information.
Don, you're still one of the two favorite characters that I have in the show. Definitely. So thank you immensely. And Sparf and Richard Pump, Dick Pump. I love the fact that you guys helped me out.
Didn't even see that.
Yeah, I know you did. Well done. I need to spell it out.
Well done.
So thank you.
Excellent. Yeah, I'd love to thank people who talked to me on Twitter, but it was a lonely, vacuous void of depression. So,
well, you're just not popular.
No, it's fine. I mean, I get it.
Let me also, if you guys want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Sean Paul Ellis. And that is S-E-A-N-P-A-U-L-E-L-L-I-S. And that's for both Instagram as well as also Twitter.
Yeah, it sure is.
Couple shows that I want to plug for the month of December. If you are in the D.C. area or Virginia or Maryland and you want to see some excellent improv comedy, you can check me out. I'm going to be performing with a group called Nox. That's N-O-X exclamation point. We are going to be performing Saturday, December 6th, 13th and the 20th at 10 o'clock. I think we're the headliner for all three of those shows. We're going to be revisiting a format that adds components from TED Talks.
Nice, dude.
So we're going to be having a blast with that. We did it earlier this summer. Had a fucking incredible time doing it, and so we're revisiting it, and we're having a lot of fun with it for the holidays.
Dude,
so,
that's great to hear. You guys have been super busy lately. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be December 6th, 13th, and 20th, all at 10 a.m. or 10 a.m.
Holy shit, it's a morning, Saturday morning cartoon episode.
10 p.m. Sorry. And you can find tickets out on the new Washington Improv Theater, which is WITDC.org, and you can buy tickets through that.
It is a snazzy site, and we will have links to all of that information up on our website, which is SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Remember, that's morning with a U. Sean, did you have more to tell the folks about your shows?
No, that's great. Hey, Dave, what are the things that you have that you'd like to plug? Because you've been doing some like incredible shit lately.
Nah, I'm not doing much. You know, I'm just reviewing a few shows here and there. I'll tell you what, coming up soon, because we're getting into the holiday breaks here, I'm gonna have a article over at Collider.com where I do these reviews. I'm gonna break down the new and returning comic book adaptation shows and just kind of rank the best and the worst, because I cover all of them. I cover ones that are really, really good and surprising, and others that have been a disappointment so far. We also cover a bit more than that on the site as well. So if you're interested in shows like Gotham, The Flash, Arrow, The Walking Dead, and Constantine, I review each and every one of those shows each and every week. They're on TV over at Collider.com. So come on over, take a read. If you like it or love it, feel free to leave a comment. Or if you hate it, feel free to leave a comment too. That's what most people do. It's good times. So, yeah, just come on over there and check us out. If you want to know more about Saturday Morning Cartoons, you can follow us on Twitter at Morning Tunes. Remember, that's morning with a U. You can also check out our excellent and schizophrenic Tumblr page that Sean's been populating. Oh, man.
I've been putting a lot of random stuff up. I'm putting a lot of stuff, so yeah, thank
you. It's great. We might actually see if we can find those recent like throwback cartoons for, I think it's like the Honda CRV, which is not a sponsor, but they are using like 80s toys, many of which I own.
Yeah.
It's so strange. Yes. It's just another way to pimp out our childhood, but hey, I'll take it. It's great. That's at SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. Where the hell else can you find us? Oh, I don't know, maybe on iTunes and Stitcher, where you can download this podcast each and every week. You can also pester me, and I would love you to. I would love you to pester me on Twitter, because it's a sad, lonely place full of millions of people. You can reach me at Dr. Claw MD. That's DrClawMD. Dr. Claw MD. Sean and I will be live tweeting.
If you
Oh,
if you happen to be looking for Matt Barron and you want to throw messages or
hate mail about
at
that
him,
guy.
You can find him at Twitter at Bag of Sandwiches. And I think that's it in terms of plugs and contacts that we have. Is there anything else there?
So Sean mentioned we were going to be live. We live tweeted the last couple of episodes. Sean doesn't know, unless he read the email, what we're going to be live tweeting next.
I know what we're doing. I watched it.
Well, Matt doesn't because he doesn't read. Emails. Matt doesn't read. Matt can't read. That's fact of the podcast number 3. Matt can't read. Look, for this one, my pick is coming up next. I wanted to go a little bit older. I don't think we've done anything quite this old yet.
I'm very excited about this.
This is from the late 60s, early 70s. It's a Hanna-Barbera action-adventure classic called The Herculoids. I used to love watching this. It was like a half an hour
show.
Did
you really watch this?
Oh, yeah. I watched it, but not obviously in 1969. I watched it when it was on Cartoon Network, like during Space Ghost and stuff like that.
Okay.
Dude, I love the Herculoids. It's so weird.
No, and I mean, like, Herculoids was the cartoon that I confuse Herculoids with Thunder the Barber, Thunder.
You should, because we'll talk about that during the show. Like, some of the characters are just carbon copies.
There's so many comparisons.
Yeah.
It's such a copy-paste in a certain way, but, like, it's so wonderful. So I'm very excited to watch Herculoids.
Yeah, honestly, like, that's why I was kind of confused that, like, Thundar was, like, an early 80s or late 80s show. I had no idea. I thought they were both pretty much the same era. No clue.
I thought they were within at least 5 years of each other. Yeah. No.
Not even close.
Naps. I am so wrong with this.
So
I'm a dumb.
We'll go back and we'll check out the Herculoids and we will bring it to you again on Saturday morning cartoons. Thank you very much for listening. Man, if you made it this far, I want to give you something. I just have nothing to give except my eternal gratitude. Maybe someday for you listeners who have stuck with us since the beginning, we'll have something to offer you. But until now, I'm just going to turn it over to Sean, who's going to take us out. I don't know, buddy. Do you want to do a live recording in your island voice, maybe? Do you want to do that?
In the island voice?
Yeah, in our regular outro. Do you think you could do that?
Yeah, I absolutely can.
Here we go.
Oh, jeez.
The anticipation is killing me.
This is
you can change it up, too, if you want to change it up. I'll give you that.
Dave, Matt, we ride!